Lord, we thank you for this morning that we get to know you and trust you. Lord, we pray that we would grow and learn how to be people that honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're in this series that I'm calling Churches That Grow. And for the last couple weeks, we started out with churches that grow build on Jesus. We talk about that foundation, right, that weathers the storm. That we talked about churches that grow love. It's that kind of love that God has for us that's unconditional love, love that's not dependent on a payment, you know, an exchange. You know, our world is, I will love you as long as you love me, right? That's conditional love. Or I'll love you if you pay attention to me or tell me how good looking I am or laugh at all my jokes. You know, it's not that kind of exchange. God's love loves us before we even know he exists. He loves us even when we're mean to him. There's nothing we can do to get out of that love. There's to make him love us less or love us more. And as we walk out and want to be not only just a church that grows, because the church is described as the body of Christ, who we are as believers, but it has to start with us individually, right? We have to build our lives on Jesus. We have to learn how to love so that the person that comes through the door that we've never met, we can say, I love you. And I'd be careful about who you say that to, okay? You don't have to say that to them. But you can know that. And maybe it is somebody, you know, as you get to know them, say, I love you. I don't know you, but I love you. I love you with an unconditional love that doesn't matter what you've done or who you are. I love you. I'm committed to you. I will never knowingly hurt you. And if I can help you, I'll help you with everything I have. I love that Jay Cook challenge says, you know, and I repeat it, is if there's something that I have that you need, I'll loan it to you. If it's something I need to give you, I'll give it to you. That kind of love that says, okay, Lord, that's what you've done for me. You gave it all. Would you show me how that looks in this world? Today, churches that grow, we're going to talk about churches that grow, forgive. Churches that grow, forgive. Forgiveness is a choice, an action to release an offender from a punishment and entrust it all to God. The dictionary defines forgiveness as debt forgiveness. Debt forgiveness, something that you owe, that somebody says, you no longer owe me. You no longer owe me. Here's what Jesus taught about forgiveness. It's interesting. You see it in the Lord's Prayer, right? This then is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, right? Who is in heaven. Hallowed be your name. God, I want to honor you with everything you are. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today what our daily bread. Then what? Forgive us the way we have forgiven others. That's crazy. Forgive us our sins as we've forgiven those who have sinned against us. Is to be forgiving, is to be, God's calling us to be self-aware. Self-aware that people have hurt me. And how am I going to, I'm going to respond to that. Because we've hurt God. We've dishonored him. Stuff that he's done to good and bless us and love us. We've disobeyed him. We've hurt the things that he's given us to take care of. And yet, God doesn't hold that against us. He's forgiven us. And he says, I'm going to forgive you the way you've forgiven other people. And forgiveness is to put aside the option to bring up the situation again. I just think about, you know, we say, I forgive you, right? How many, most of us probably have said that, right? I forgive you. But what we really mean sometimes, I forgive you until you mess up again. And the moment they mess up again, it's like the machine comes back. And you did this, and you did that, and you did this, and you did that. It's like, whoa, whoa. You said you forgave me. I said I was sorry. I said I'm trying to change. I know that's wrong and that's messed up. Why are you bringing it up again? If you forgave me, God's not that way. Do you think God could wipe us out with listing out all the stuff that we've messed up repeatedly? He doesn't. It's like a new, fresh relationship. It's like a brand new ground. As we ask for God's forgiveness, He gives it to us and He puts it away. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far God separates our sin from us. Forgiving our fellow human being is so important that Jesus taught in Matthew 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is kind of one of those theology questions. It's like, didn't Jesus die on the cross for our sins? Didn't all our sins get forgiven? What do you mean He's not going to forgive us? Well, when Jesus gives something, when God gives us something, there's a responsibility that comes with it. There's a responsibility. He's given forgiveness. He says, here's all this forgiveness. You need to use this forgiveness. And how we use it is how we treat other people. We take a little bit of this forgiveness that He's given us, and He's given us a stack of forgiveness, a big bank, an endless. We take some of that and we give it to somebody else. And you go back to this vault of where all God's forgiveness is, and it's full. It's still packed full. You can't even tell you took anything out of it. And God says, would you take some of that forgiveness and give it to other people? Because if you don't use what I've given you with the intention that I've given it, I'm going to take it back. You've heard that term, use it or lose it. That's a kingdom principle. He said, if you don't use the faith that you have, you will lose your understanding. You will lose what you have. We see it in our bodies, right? If you don't take care of what you have, amazing, you will lose it. And it's a sad point. I remember thinking, I can't wait till I hit my power curve. And I remember thinking that it felt like the Lord said to me, or even as a thought, it's like, oh shoot, my power curve has passed and gone. And there's a point where you get old enough that really exercises about maintaining what you have so you don't lose anymore, that there's no ability to become a bodybuilder, Scott, or whatever. It's like, if you work out, it's just to maintain what you have. Use it or you lose it. God said, forgiveness is that way. If you don't forgive other people, I'm not going to forgive you. Because it's an issue of honoring, recognizing what God has given. Forgiveness is really hard to practice. It's related to the harder the hurt is, the harder it is to forgive somebody. It was so hard that Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, phrased a question to Jesus in Matthew 18, verse 21. It says, then Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? It's like, I mean, that's a good godly number, right? Seven? I'm gonna forgive somebody seven times. They've just messed up the same thing seven times. And what's Jesus' answer? He says, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And some versions say seven times 70. You know, that the issue is not the number. Because if it was, you and I'd be calculating. Dude, you got like three more tries, man, and you're out of here. The idea was extraordinary. It was kindness. Like, it's not a numbers thing. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. And that's why Jesus, he moves on to a parable, a story. Can I illustrate what he's talking, what kingdom forgiveness is like? He describes it. He says, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story that illustrates what I'm talking about here. He says, there was this king who decided that he's going to settle accounts with his servants, and he calls them in. And this one guy has owes the king a talent of gold. We're like, talent of gold? How much is that? A talent of gold would take at day labor's wages would take 20 years to earn. So this guy owes this king not just a talent of gold, 20 years of labor, he owes him 10,000 talents. 10,000 lifetimes it would take him to repay what he owes. The king says, hey, sell this guy's property, take him, his wife, his kids, and put him in prison. He says, that's a drop in the bucket. Would that solve the problem? No. Is that the just thing to do? Yeah. The guy owes him money. He's got to pay it. Immediately, the guy is distraught. You see your life crumbling before you. It's gone as you know it. He falls on his knees and he begs. He says, Lord, have mercy on me. I will repay it. Have you got to laugh at that? I will repay it. He says, don't just give me some time. How many lifetimes? 10,000 lifetimes. But he says, just give me time. He said, dude, you're not going to live that long. And because this guy begs the king, because he sees it's insurmountable, he has mercy on him. He says, he cancels the debt. He cancels the debt. This guy has his life restored. The story's not done, right? It goes on. He goes and finds a coworker who owes him, it says, 100 silver coins, which would have been the equivalent of one day's labor. One day's labor. And he starts grabbing the guy. He starts choking him. He says, you pay me this second. You pay me now. And the guy says, using the same words the guy just used with his debt, he says, I beg you, give me time and I'll repay you. And he says, no way. He says, throw him in prison until he pays every penny he owes. The co-workers, the story that him getting forgiven that massive debt didn't go unnoticed. His fellow servants are so distraught and upset that they go to the king and say, you will not believe what this guy did. He went and choked out a guy who owed him one day's labor and had him put in prison for not repaying. The king becomes irate and furious with him. When the other servants tell him, read on in verse 32, then the master called the servant, you wicked servant. He said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay all he owed. And Jesus goes on to clarify, this isn't just a story. This is an illustration of reality. He says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. To be unforgiving is to be unmerciful. Micah 7:18, who is God? Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. We have a merciful God who loves us. To comprehend that hugeness of a forgiveness changes how you treat other people. I always say that. I always can tell what somebody thinks about themselves by how they treat other people. Because people who are critical, judgmental, mean of other people, they don't feel good about themselves. They feel unworthy. They realize there's a bar that is set of perfection, of something better than what they are, and they realize they don't get it. And so they will do everything. My wife can always tell me what, you know, in long times past, when I'm under pressure and feeling out of control, because then I start to control minutiae in our home. I become critical about things that really don't matter. She goes, oh, you know, and then maybe a day later, maybe a week later, I was like, man, I was kind of stressed out. She goes, yeah, I know. I can tell. We said, what do you mean? Well, I can tell because when you feel out of control over here, you start controlling little things that don't matter. Your comments, how we behave to other people reveals what's going on inside of us. If I'm not forgiving, if I'm easily offended, it's indicative of my not realizing how broken and messed up I am and God's forgiveness that covers all of that. It's a change. It's like grace. If you've received it and you recognize it, people don't bug you anymore. Because if we were to do the chart of how much we bug Jesus, we can't bug Jesus. But, you know, for whatever reason, I'm thinking most of us would be off the chart. It was like, if God, I always say, God's so patient, he doesn't tell us everything that we need to get straightened out at once. Because if he did, we'd quit. We'd quit, and it's an impossibility. He's interested in our heart, not our perfection, not our performance. He just wants to say, hey, Jesus, man, I know I don't get it sometimes. So, but man, what I do get, it's because of you. And I'm just so thankful when other people allow me to be their friend, whatever that looks like. Forgiveness. You know, I think what is behind most unforgiveness is pride. Pride leads to unforgiveness. Because we think that the way we are doing things is the right way. And therefore, what everybody else is doing is the wrong way. We won't come out and say that. We just get upset and irritated. Oh, I can't believe she said that to me. I can't believe they did that with their money. I can't believe they responded that way. I can't believe they keep doing this. My pride. They're saying that I've got it all figured out and you don't. And I'm so irritated by you who don't have it figured out like I do. Pride. Pride. One of the subtle symptoms of pride is fault finding with people. Always highlighting their inability. It's so weird. It's like a certain kind of one-eyed glasses that you can see their faults, but you can't see your own. And the flip side of that is you can't see anything good about them, only their bad qualities. Fault finding. Another subtle symptom of pride is a harsh spirit. It shows up when we talk about people. We're irritated. They're less than human beings. You could just tell there's a condescending attitude. There's an irritation in your voice. And you know when you can see it in Christians? It's the most absurd time. You see it in prayer. Oh God, would you help so-and-so not to be such an idiot? We couch it in prayers to God, asking him to bless us in our lives. And really, it's just pride about who somebody is. and what they've done, that somehow we're in a better place than they are. You know, I even wonder if that guy secretly, that servant, thought he deserved forgiveness. It's like, oh, God looked at my, this king looked at me and saw what a wonderful person I am. And decided, it's like, you know, I got to thinking as you're begging here on the ground and you have snot coming out of your nose, that you're really a pretty good guy. I'm going to forgive you because you're so wonderful. And so with that attitude, he went to this other servant and he said, I am forgiven because I deserved it and you don't. Forgiveness. It's so critical. It's so important. What forgiving is and isn't is not. Forgiving is really a refusal to play God. God's the one who judges people. You're not. You're not the one who decides what's in people's hearts. Did you know you can do the completely wrong thing for the right reason and God is pleased? Did you know you can do the complete right thing for the wrong reason and it's sin? We forgive people saying, no, I'm not in charge of you. I got enough trouble with me. I don't need to be in charge of you too. I forgive you. God gets to redeem you just like he redeems me. He's God. He's the one who's working in you. I refuse to punish you. Forgiving releases someone from our personal judgment. We release that. I'm not going to judge you. God knows what's going on. He gets to take care of that, not me. Forgiving doesn't mean that there's not going to be a consequence. There's a consequence when we do things that are hurtful. When we do things that demand an accountability. God's established government for that purpose, so that it takes care of things that are wrong. And you can forgive somebody and they still can go to jail. It doesn't mean you don't forgive them. It means you release them from punishment. And it doesn't matter if they get caught or put in jail or not. You still can forgive them, knowing that God will take care of it. Because when we forgive people, we're submitting ultimate judgment to God. He's the one who gets to take care of things. You release it to him. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to revenge. I will repay, says the Lord. I'm always really cautious about praying what Bible students call the imprecatory prayers that you see in David. He would say, may the Lord dash my enemy's babies to the ground. May they, and I'm thinking, oh man, say, holy cow. David's got it out for these guys. Because the problem is, I'm on the same place they are. I remember reading a story recently. It was by some, early century monk. And he described, he says, when we look at other people, it's like one beggar on this street corner looking at the beggar on the other street corner saying, can you believe he's begging like that? How in the world can he wear those clothes begging? Oh, that is so upsetting. He is so messed up. They're both beggars. This is when we look at other people's forgiveness, we're really poking fun and trying to dismantle another beggar just like we are begging. Forgiveness doesn't excuse or condone an offense. We tend to think, well, they won't know how much that hurt me if I forgive them. I was like, you know what? You're not in charge of that. I love this quote, and maybe you've heard it before. It's by an unknown author. Forgiveness does not excuse behavior. Forgiveness prevents their behavior from destroying your heart. Let me read that again. Forgiveness does not excuse behavior. Forgiveness prevents their behavior from destroying your heart. You know, as I look at people who've got sometimes, who have bitterness, I have correlated in very non-scientific way that people who are bitter and unforgiving and harsh don't have good health. It doesn't mean, right, we can't make rules. I was like, if you, somebody comes down with a health problem, say, hey, you're a little unforgiving, huh? But you see, you know, I'm talking about there's a correlation. You've seen people who are bitter and they get sick more and they just, their relationships aren't good. And it's like, man, I don't want this to wreck my heart. I got to let go of this. Have any of you ever had trouble letting go of something? Just me? Probably just even me going, I shared with you going on sabbatical was I had to let go of some things because I realized that if I didn't let go of it, I could not finish well. If I didn't forgive, and I have to complete, you know, say, God, do a new work in me that I am not in control. My life is not about me. It's about you, Lord. So that I can walk in the freedom of who God called me to be. And forgiving is not a feeling. If you wait to feel good about forgiving, you'll never do it. Forgiveness is a choice. I forgive you. I'm not going to hold you to any punishment. That's up to God. I'm going to forgive you. In fact, I'm going to forgive you. A test of my forgiveness is if something else happened, do I think bring up the old stuff? If I forgive somebody, then I mean I can be in relationship with them and be genuine about it. Now, and forgiveness is not the same as trust. Because trust is earned. Forgiveness is unconditional, but trust is earned. It means I can forgive somebody, but I may not give you my car keys again because you ran it out of gas and left it, you know, at the coast. I was like, I'm not going to trust you. I forgive you. I'm okay. I want God to take care of. We're good. You know, I may lend you something else, but I'm not going to lend you my car for a while until I see some good character qualities developing in you. And forgiveness is not the not forgive and forget. You heard that one? Oh, forgive and forget. Don't worry about it. I'm thinking, dude, if you can forget about it, it probably wasn't a big deal. Because God doesn't, we got a brain that remembers things. It's how we remember them. We get to remember and say, you know what? I've messed with people too. And it's so good that I can tell in their relationship that they've forgiven me. Because I can walk in whole and health and wholeness in that situation. Forgiving has blessings as its reward. When we forgive, God blesses us because we obey Him. We're saying that forgiveness is a big deal to you, God, because I love you and I want to follow you with all my heart. I'm going to do what you do. You forgive, so I'm going to forgive. God says, good job. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you because you're going to give you freedom from that hurt, from carrying that backpack everywhere you go of that weight of unforgiveness, hoping that you don't see that person in town or at the store. Freedom to say, hey, I love the realization that we are finite people. We have finite amount of physical energy, finite amount of emotional energy, finite physical, emotional energy that we can spend in time, you know, all those things. How do you want to spend it? Do you want to spend that on unforgiveness or do you want to spend that on life? Because when you don't forgive somebody, you're taking some of that emotional energy and it will drain you. Because if you don't know how to forgive, it'll pile up. You'll have like, man, you can't walk in the room without somebody looking at every single person that's bothered you, offended you, that you're walking in unforgiveness. And they don't even know it. Because like I talked before, it isn't even an issue of them sinning. It's just they're not doing things the way you do things. To have the grace to allow them to be them. Forgiving is a blessing because you get released from the past. I don't have to hang on to that. I can let go of it. I can walk in freedom. Unforgiveness keeps our mind trapped in an old story. Replay, 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 replay. And forgiveness has a blessing of improved health. They talk about people walk in forgiveness versus bitterness, have better blood pressure, less incidences of cholesterol levels, right? I see commercials. It shows you what TV shows you are by the kind of commercials that are on the TV. Right? They talk about lower your cholesterol, take this. You know, the side effects are puking and gas. And it's like, man, is that really worth it? All those side effects. But forgiving, what a greasy, easy way. No pills, no side effects, but good side effects to forgive somebody. And forgiveness walks in, improves your relationships. As I like to be around people that forgive me. I had the privilege once again of working with my friend Bob, and I always have. I'm not a construction guy, but I think I am, and I'm always pointing out flaws in Bob's calculations and how he does things, and then I have to say, Bob, you're right. Once again, I don't know why I question you. And I just had to thank him. I said, Bob, thanks for forgiving me. I said, have you forgiven me, Bob? Yes, you do. You better take some of that forgiveness. But it is so great that Bob and I, we can maintain relationships, even though I have a strong personality and opinion about things, that he can forgive me. And it really takes in mind to sit back up and say, you know what? I'm not in charge of this. I need to let it go. And forgiving brings healing. Unless you forgive, it is impossible to heal from the hurt. It is impossible to heal while you're still hanging on to that bitterness and resentment. Forgiving someone is the first step towards healing. You and I won't be healed unless we forgive. The longer you live, the more opportunities you and I are going to have to forgive. And I'm going to flip it. The more opportunities people will have to forgive you. That realization is like, you know what? I hurt you. I'm sorry. I didn't even know it. Hey, because the goal is not perfection. The goal is not messing up. The goal is recognizing this vault that's untapped, that God has forgiven us, that we can walk in that grace and freedom, say, hey, listen, I give this to you. You can't even tell that vault has had anything taken out of it. I can take a wad of cash out of that building of forgiveness and just lay it all over you. And you go back and it's still plug full. When we talk about churches that grow, if we can't walk in the grace, an inkling of the grace that God's given us, you and I will be stuck. People that grow, forgive. Churches that grow, forgive. I need forgiveness. And for me to receive that forgiveness, I need to give forgiveness. Because I want to honor what Jesus has given me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Lord, I love what you give in your word, the challenges you give, because it's good for me. I know that as I learn the hugeness of your forgiveness for me, it changes how I treat people. It changes what bothers me. The things that used to bother me don't bother me anymore. It's all a moving thing. There's things that still bother me, but I realize that as I learn how you put up with me, that it's nothing for me to let go of the things that bother me. And in that process, my relationships with my friends and family have improved. Lord, they're more love-filled. They're more gracious. They've given life. I've freed up my mind and my heart to think about important things. Lord, I just pray that for everyone here. Lord, as they've struggled, I know that they've been hurt in ways, some of them have been hurt in ways I can't even imagine. Whether it was by a parent or a friend or a spouse. Lord, that you would begin to do the deep work of them releasing punishment of that person and saying, God, I'm not in charge of that. You are. I just need to be a giver of just a piece of what you've given me. A piece of the richness of forgiveness you've given me. Lord, and I just pray, God, that any of us, as we struggle with pride, that you would identify that, that our offense or criticalness of people is nothing but the ugliness of pride, thinking that we're better than somebody else. Lord, we are all equally in desperate need of you to save us and redeem us. None more, none less. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. I just pray your hand on people as they walk out the truth of what they get to let go of today, what they get to let go of tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.